Apollos, and this is Talk Story, Maui's longest running talk show. And I was going to have Barry Rivers on because, you know, the film festival starts tomorrow night. But I got a call from Stella, and Stella said, "Cindy, is Barry supposed to be there?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Well, you know what? He's asleep." And I said, I mean, sometimes people say, you know, got a flat tire. I said, "Can you wake him?" "No, I can't wake him up. He's really asleep." I said, "Okay." So, I mean, I think the theme of today's show is getting by with a little help from my friends. Because last minute SOS call to Kathy Collins. I said, "Kathy, can you come in?" And I wanted her to come in anyway because she's got a very special event happening at the Nisei Veterans Memorial Center happening this Sunday. And I think I learned a new word, which I don't know if I'm going to pronounce correctly, but I'll try. Yakamashii.
Yakamashii.
Oh, it's not ee?
No, because it's not Gary, in Hawaiian.
Gary,
it's a Japanese word.
Gary, you were wrong. Gary, don't. We're going to have to cut that commercial over again. He said yakamashii.
No. Oh, no. It's not Hawaiian. It's Japanese, and it means noisy. And if you grew up here, even if you're not Japanese, you probably think the word means shut up, because as kids, our elders were always saying, yakamashii, quiet down. And that's why I named my talk story series Yakamashii.
Were you ever told that?
Oh, often. I thought it was my name.
Yakamashii. I didn't know Yakamashii before. But I know you're very, very, very involved in helping the Nisei Veterans Center. And I was so glad to see that you've been doing these series. And now, not only are they on Zoom, they are in person
as well. Yes, our last one was a hybrid event. The first one, this is a bi-monthly event. The first one was entirely via Zoom, which was fun, but then people outside of Maui get to see it. But last time when I had Brian Cohn as my guest, it was a hybrid event, and it's so much better when you've got a live audience there.
Well, you're such a storyteller anyway, but it's a special, special event this coming Sunday.
Yes.
Because you have your mother.
Yep, my very special guest this month is my mom. And like I do with all of my guests, I'm going to interview her and encourage her to share some of her fun anecdotes. So I'm pretty sure Mom will have fun talking about old-time Makawao. Maybe we'll talk about what Maui was like during World War II, for those who weren't here back then, and anything else that she might want to share, but I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you do so much, and I mean, we were just talking, you emceed the show that was with Bryant Neal on this last Saturday.
Oh, Jazz Maui, Jazz Blues and Beyond concert. It was wonderful. I got to dance. And
you do the KEWE morning show, The Spirit, in the morning. And, of course, you know, you also are on The Buzz.
Just got off the air on
The
Buzz.
And so you're so, so busy and stay very busy. People may not know, but you also MC. And you were just MCing at the NCL Cruises.
NCL Pride of America. I host the Polynesian show on Sunday nights because they dock here Sunday through Monday evening. And then I got to go and play on the pool deck yesterday. I got to co-host the pool party for the 4th of July.
It must have been fun.
I usually go on Monday afternoons and talk story about... I go to the lay-making class, and the cruise director teaches them how to make ribbon lays, and I get to talk about the tradition of giving and receiving lays, and I give them all the no-nos. Do not throw your dried-up lay in the garbage, you know. Be respectful.
What do you do with your dried-up lays?
You could plant it in the garden. Well, some lays dry up beautifully, and you can keep them, you know, put them on a... picture frame or something like that.
I put it over my lamp post, the shade, right?
Oh, yes.
I've always been doing that. I don't know why I do that. I mean, but it's like, yeah, I don't want to throw them away.
And no, I thank you're not supposed to toss them in the trash.
Thank you.
They were made and given with love. So
With the true aloha.
So yeah. I tell the guests, you should return it to where it came from. Not specifically, because they're gone already once they leave Maui. But, you know, put it in your garden, your, you know, whatever.
I like
press it. Press it like you would your prom corsage or stuff like that.
You know, I've known a lot of people with great love for their moms, and I've never seen a relationship like I've seen between you and your mom.
Oh, well.
There is such a bond there. I mean, it is just amazing. And you even have her come in sometimes and do a radio show with you.
She does the show with me.
She's got to be the oldest living DJ in America.
People always ask me, when's your mom going to be on again? When's she going to tell more jokes? My mom loves naughty jokes.
And you just did that trip you did with her, going to the Niagara Falls.
We went to Michigan and Canada
for
family business.
Yeah.
And she loves to cruise.
Yes.
We were supposed to do the California Coast Cruise April 2020, but you know what happened there.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of reluctant to book again until I know for sure that they won't be canceling more sailings, because
well,
to go through the
not
whole refund process.
Canceling, no, they aren't canceling, but it's just like you know. I mean, there's issues that you have to deal with, but I mean, they aren't canceling. But you know, your mom. I mean, you went to Las Vegas. What? That's 4 or 5 months ago.
September. We went to Las Vegas.
Was that last year?
Yes.
So your mother and you have this bond, and I think there's some things that keep her spirit so sparkling and alive. One, I think, is you and the love that you share together. I think that really does come across, and I think that is that bond that goes on forever. But there's this other part of you that's really interesting, too, in the fact that you realize that she's not being limiting herself. You recognize that she does not limit herself in what she can do.
Oh, no. She's, you know, she lives on her own independently. She'll be 97 in a couple of weeks. I have never looked at our relationship as being out of the ordinary.
It is.
I mean, you know, aren't all moms like my mom? I don't know.
No.
But my mom does have this unique spirit. I always say she twinkles. And,
yes. Good word.
I think it's the positive attitude that she's always had throughout life. I am an only child, so that might have something to do with the closeness. But, you know, growing up, we went through all the usual, typical stuff. I was a bratty teenager, and we had our disagreements. But my mom is a wonderful travel partner because of that positive attitude. She's willing to try things.
She doesn't
know.
Seem
she
afraid.
She doesn't grumble.
She doesn't have a lot of fears.
No, she doesn't. She likes thrill rides, and she loves traveling, you know, just going anywhere. She's happy to go.
Uh-huh.
She does use a walker, but that's mainly for balance. Uh-huh. And
she donates her time.
Good
she helps.
She volunteers in the office at the Maui Adult Daycare Center 5 afternoons a week regularly.
That, to me, it's just an absolutely amazing inspiration to see how she lives and what she does. And
she is. I always tell people I want to be like her when I grow up.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the pictures you have. The Nisei Veterans Memorial Center, by the way, has a picture in their newsletter they send out. And I love that picture you have of you and her in that newsletter. Again, it captures that twinkling spirit. And it's funny because I always refer to her as you do. Kathy's mom. I don't even know her name. She's come in quite often. I don't even know what her name is.
Oh, it's Yaemi Yogi. And don't call her Amy, because she will correct you. She went to a comedy show. Remember the, McSomething and Sons. There was a TV series.
Uh-huh.
And Sullivan and Sons, or Sullivan's Sons. Anyway, these 4 stand-up comedians who star in the show came and did a tour. And I couldn't go, so my cousin took my mom. It was in McCoy Theater. And then I got called. Tony Takitani called me and left me a voicemail saying, your mom just stole the show. And I said, what happened? And it turns out, because she was in the front row and is of a certain age, right away, I can't think of his name, but the lead guy looked down and asked, how old are you? And she told him, and I think at the time she was 89 or something like that. And they were like, whoa. So then they had her come up on stage and a lap dance for her. And yeah.
Oh my God.
She's such a good sport, you know. She had a ball.
Oh my gosh.
They all took pictures with her afterwards. And so I forgot what my point was. I was bringing that up for a reason. Well, what were you telling me?
Fearless, but also the fact that she's got such a, she's a people person, just like you are,
well,
you know?
Well, she is.
She really is. And I love that about you and her. I mean, I actually envy you just being able to do so much. And you do help in so many ways. I did want to mention also, this is coming up, and I didn't know much about this. I want to pronounce
The
it right.
Nisei Veterans Memorial Center has a number of great activities. They, even through the pandemic, they pivoted beautifully and started presenting all of their lecture series online via Zoom, and it's also available for later viewing on the YouTube channel. And we used to do a monthly movie day, and Leonard Oka of the Sons and Daughters of the Nisei Veterans used to curate these films. We watched the original Gopher Broke with Van Johnson and all of them.
Wow, was that the original one? It was way back with Van Johnson?
Oh, yeah, 1951. Gopher Broke was the name of the movie, and I was amazed at the way it was presented. I expected, okay, this is Hollywood's version. It's going to be a bunch of... But they actually used some actual 442nd and 100th Battalion veterans to portray soldiers. And it was very sympathetic to the Japanese-American
amazing
situation.
I had never heard about that.
It's an excellent movie.
Wow.
It's available, I think, on Amazon. I think you can watch it on Amazon Prime.
Uh-huh.
Or one of the streaming services. But yes, with Van Johnson. It's one of my mom's favorite movies. But so this month, in fact, starting this weekend, Saturday, the Studio Ghibli, I think it's Ghibli, Anime Fest. So they've got these, I guess they're classic anime features. I know I've heard of My Neighbor Totoro, and that's going to be on July 23rd. But oh, here, look.
Oh, perfect.
Thank you.
I hadn't heard about that.
16th.
Like charming animation, really nice. I'm going to finish up the Facebook right now, but I'm going to continue on our AM.
And as with most of the events and activities at the Nisei Center, you call them 808-244-NVMC to register.
I'm going to post this, so in case you just came in on the last of it, is posted on Facebook. But I don't have any idea if Kea Aloha is going to call in or not. He's scheduled to call in at 2:20, and Kea Aloha, as you said, you know him.
Yes, I was hoping he would call in because I wanted to remind him of the first time we met. He had just started doing poetry, slam poetry, and he had come out with a CD, which he gave me. We met at one of the Talk Story festivals on Oahu. And he told this marvelous, well, he recited this marvelous piece about, I think he called it Makana. And it was about being at the beach and a little rubber ball rolling up, and it turned out to be a little boy's. And then he just describes this sweet, beautiful moment. Anyway, so I wanted to remind
was
him
that a,
about
he was
that.
A story, so he was a storyteller first, you think, and then became a slam poet?
No. He was invited because of his slam poetry, but he has, is that the phone ringing?
No. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
A very big aloha. Is this Kea Aloha?
Yeah, this is Kea Aloha. How's it going?
Oh, I got an old friend of yours here in the studio, Kathy Collins.
Tita,
how are you?
How's it going?
Good. We're so excited that your film is going to be presented at the Maui Film Festival.
Oh, I'm so excited, too.
It's a premiere. It's the world premiere.
That's
isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
It is.
This is it. This is what we've been waiting for a very, very long time.
So are you going to be here for
yep.
the premiere? Oh, yay.
Yeah, you're going to actually have a Q&A. I think Rick Chatenever flew in to do a Q&A after the show so people can actually talk story as well.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah, after the show.
That's perfect.
Yeah, this is a very exciting thing for a lot of people. You know, Barry Rivers just absolutely is enthralled with you and this movie. No, I mean, because, well, and I happen to be a poet and I've done, I don't know, a ton of spoken word albums, but I could never even imagine doing what you do. I mean, I would love to have an ounce of the courage you have that just you go for it. I saw you at a Nohoku performance. You were on stage and my God, I had never seen anything like his performance. You know what I'm talking about. He just some electricity, something gets into you. What is it that gets into you, Ke Aloha? It's like this other energy just comes through you.
Well, I mean, I guess we're just an accumulation of everything in our past that has led to us in the present. So I just bring all of that, all of the experience that I have and all of the knowledge that I've gained from my elders and all the stories and the poetry, and I just kind of like, I just want to communicate it all. And so, you know, in order to do that, you bring the physical, you bring the mental, you bring the verbal, you bring everything that you've got.
And the aloha. I can't imagine how you even got through MIT with all that energy. How did you?
Step by step, idea by idea. It was, it was definitely a different like usage of my brain. But it was also pretty similar too. Because if you want to study nuclear physics and engineering, you kind of have to have a little bit of an imagination because you can't see the particles. You can't, you have to just visualize them in your brain. So, you know, I kind of like translated that usage of the brain into like solving more like poetic problems or, you know, like problems of humanity and us as people traveling through this life and through this universe.
Now, you've been able, through this movie, I believe, from the trailer, and everyone should watch the trailer at MauiFilmFestival.com. And again, a reminder, this is this Friday that Ke Aloha will be there and his premiere of the movie will be there. Of course, the film festival starts tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. But the thing that's so thrilling to me is the fact that you seem to be able to capture the imagination of the cosmos, the mathematics and the higher calculus that ties in that spirit and the energy that you're able to convey with aloha. And I that's a dream of mine. I don't know. How do you do that?
I guess there's an urgency, you know? I mean, as the world continues on, we need to become more scientifically literate. So what I was trying to do is I was just trying to communicate all of the science stuff that I know in a way that just the normal, like in a way that my child would understand, honestly. So it's really just about trying to simplify. Taking it step by step and making it as interesting as possible and entertaining as possible. Because when you think about it, like the science of the cosmos, of the universe, it's so fascinating and so interesting. That it kind of tells itself. I just added a little bit more juice on it to make it even more crazy and even more fun, you know?
Well, you do, you know. And at the same time, I was talking with Kathy about whenever the first time she remembered you talking and doing an event.
I was telling Cindy, when I met you, it was through Jeff Geer at the Talk Story Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And you appeared and you did, and I'm trying to remember if you called it Makana or the gift, but it was the story about the little boy and the ball. And so when I read today's Maui News, John Woodhouse did a beautiful write-up on your film as well as some other featured events at the film festival. But I thought, oh, that's so cool. It's, you know, years later, now you have a makana of your own. Because your son was the inspiration, really, for you to put this whole show together, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, oh, yeah, so the piece that you're talking about, Lesson of Essence.
That was it.
Yeah, I mean,
yes.
It's all been sort of a gradual learning process of learning the art of poetry and learning the art of storytelling. By the way, you, Kathy, Cheetah Collins, are one of my teachers, one of my mentors, I'd say. I mean, just by watching you on stage at things like the Storytelling Festival, I was just taking notes the whole time. And, you know, when it came time to tell this story, I was just sort of like bringing in all of those experiences, all of those things that I've seen, all, like you, you know, and just bringing in that knowledge to tell this story.
That is so sweet of you to say, Ke Aloha. I am right now searching through my photos in my phone. I wanted to show Cindy. There's a photo of when we went to, wasn't San Diego, when we went to Santa Barbara for the artist's showcase.
Yeah.
And we took a picture together, and we both have the same haircut. I've cut my hair since, though.
But do we still?
I don't. Not unless so. You cut most of yours off. And also, I was going to point out to Cindy that your performance in Get a Job.
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah, that was so much fun shooting that evening. I mean, it. And again, you know. It's true that everybody is enthralled with Ke Aloha once they meet him, once they watch him in action.
Well, there's a certain amount of magic there, I think. I really feel that and that energy. And was it turning points? Was it the TED Talk? Was it what was? Can you look back when you're looking back over kind of an amazing career so far and an amazing career coming up? Do you look at some of the key points? Because whenever you do a movie, you have to do that anyway. Did you see turning points in your life, and was the TED Talk one of them?
The TED Talk was definitely the thesis statement, I think, where I was like, you know what? Like, people need to bring science more into, or at least, well, yeah, they need to bring science more into, like, pop culture. That was a thesis statement, but I didn't know how to do it. It was sort of like a sort of initial, like, hey, this is kind of like the direction that I'm going. Mm. The big catalyst, I think, that really just lit the fire underneath me to get this piece out there was when I found out that I was going to be a father. I started to freak out a little bit in terms of, like, I don't know how to raise a child. And what I'm going to say when this child asks me where we come from. So in that moment of clarity or freaking out, and then which led to clarity, I was like, okay, let me write something that I could communicate to him later on like the science of where humans come from. So I had to start from the very beginning. I started from the Big Bang, and I started to write what was happening with those subatomic particles, what was happening, but it came out in a storytelling form. There were heroes and villains, and there was love, and there was hate, and there was war, and there was all this stuff. And I was like, oh, wow, this is crazy. Let's see what happens when we continue on with the story. So then we had to talk about the nucleosynthesis, the creating of the periodic table in the stars. And that became its own story, a different type of story. And then I had to talk about our solar system, you know, the sun, the planets, the earth, the moon. And that became its own sort of local story. And then, you know, we have to continue on from the birth of the single-celled organism, the first life form on this planet, and then its evolution over billions of years all the way up until human, and that was its own story. And then there was the migration of humans from Africa throughout the rest of the world, and that became its own thing. So all of these different pieces sort of tied up into one larger thing. And then I was like, okay, well, now we have to talk about the future. And specifically, I want to talk about sort of the future in regards to, like, the biggest scientific issue that we have right now, which is global climate change. So I wanted to address our future in regards to that. And so that, like, all of these ideas sort of fed and led into this one larger concept, which became a theater show, which was then captured on film. And then, you know, like, and in addition to that, like, we have all these special effects and footage from NASA and the BBC and National Geographic, all making that story sort of vivid and in your face. So that was, I mean, like, you know, it was just, and that, you know, the catalyst was that my son being born.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah.
Did you write a script for the, were you writing it as a script or were you writing it as a book or how were you capturing it all?
It came out as a poem.
Wow.
An epic poem, I guess, by textbook definition, because it was really long and sort of had different parts to it. But yeah, it was a poem / story, which I had intended to bring together the stage performance. But then in putting together that stage performance, I realized, like, oh, I need really like top musicians and dancers and visual arts so I can capture all this. So that's when we brought in folks like Kai Mane and the Quadraphonics and dancers like Jory Horn and Jamie Nakama and Jonathan Clark Seifert. And then I was like, oh, we need someone to chant the Kumulipo because that's a big significant part of you know, the evolution of life. And so we brought in Kaui Kanaka Ole to do that. And it was just this gradual process of, like, this project kept getting bigger and bigger with the help of folks like the Native Arts and Cultures Foundation and the Engaging the Senses Foundation. They played key roles in sort of, like, moving this project forward. This film was sponsored completely by the Engaging the Senses Foundation. They really believed in the art form and the craft and the story. So they made this thing happen, and I'm so, so grateful to them for taking this idea to the next level. And we get to show it on Friday. it's been a long time in the making.
It's going to be amazing. So many people are excited. And so when you do something like this, and thank God you got the backing, then are you responsible to help kind of further along to all the film, you know, how many thousands of film festivals that are out there, my gosh, you know, is that something you're going to handle, your people going to handle? Because this could have another whole life in the film festivals, right?
Oh, that'd be great. I look forward to it. The Engaging the Senses Foundation is taking the lead in terms of deciding, you know, where to apply to and how to release the film. Mm-hmm. But I'm along for the ride, and I'm buckled in, and I'm ready to launch into wherever this takes it, you know?
Well, and I have to say, you also, and I just realized also the Poet Laureate nominations. You're an Hawaii Poet Laureate, and I mean, I was looking at this and I'm going, how in the world could anyone fill those shoes after you, Ke Aloha? I mean,
oh, they will.
No, I don't know how. I do not know how anyone could, because, you know, you fill all the shoes in such amazing manner. I mean, slam poetry really wasn't something you'd see in Hawaii, you know, and yet you're doing your slam poetry. You're doing this week. You do weekly events, don't you, on Thursdays?
Yeah, monthly.
Monthly.
Although we've put that on hiatus for now since COVID times. But so I am focused right now solely on, you know, the creation of work and putting out this film and performing and touring and doing those things. But to speak on, you know, I mean, like, when it comes down to it, I'm following in the footsteps of the people that came before me. So the folks who come after, they're going to follow just fine, I think. Mm-hmm. And I have faith in that because, you know, we're really just participating in this tradition of oral culture, of storytelling and poetry and just communicating ideas through art. We're just one small piece along, like, thousands of years of this stuff. And so, you know, I'm one of many.
But it's going to be so inspiring for people to be able to sit there and see the premiere of something like this that's going to blow their mind. And, I mean, I have to say there's a few people like Neil deGrasse Tyson. There's a few others that kind of try to tell the story of the cosmos and what's going on out there in the world that have that gift, that ability to talk. But not a lot of scientists, as you know. Not a lot of scientists and not a lot of astronomers can break through and communicate with a passion and translate what's coming from a higher level of this other, beyond calculus. We're talking higher levels of math, and at the same time, communicate it well in words. So that's really a gift. Did you have any astronomer or any teacher that kind of guided you saying, yeah, that's kind of rad, I could do that, and maybe I can do more?
I would say the Carl Sagans of the world, the Neil deGrasse Tysons of the world, and the Richard Feynmans of the world, and all those folks who came before, they have certainly inspired that side of things. I'm like, oh yeah, you know what? There is a space for people to communicate complex scientific ideas in ways that captivate the general populace. And so, yeah, just watching those folks do what they do, definitely kind of, I feel like they're the lead blockers for what I'm trying to do. It's like they've paved the way for me to just sort of like mosey on down and try and come out with this work, which just adds to the body of knowledge. I think it's unique enough that it may change people's perspectives. I would like that to happen. Mm-hmm. Because that's what we're trying to do, is we're trying to shift the dialogue. So, mm-hmm. At the very most, if it can change paradigms, at the very least, if it could entertain you, I'm grateful if it does anything in between.
Was it hard editing it all down? It's got to have been so much that they had to try to get in there, right?
Well, very fortunately, I did not have to do the editing. There is a team of magnificent creatives who came together to put this mishmash of ideas, this story, into a cohesive thing. And they, like, their creative energy was so essential because they were able to do things that I couldn't even imagine. I was part of the, I was definitely part of the process. They would kick these segments out to me, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I love that. Or maybe we could change this or something like that. So it was really a collaborative process. And it did take a while. For those of y'all out there who are familiar with the filmmaking process,
it's long.
You got to get it right, yeah. Because once it's out there, it's out there. There's no turning back. So, you really want to get it right. And I'm so confident, and I feel so grateful that the Engaging the Senses Foundation, the entire crew who was behind this, that they put together something that was, it's well done, in my opinion.
Well, and it's great that it's going to be under the stars. It seems only appropriate, of course, outdoors under the stars this Friday. People can see the trailer. It gives them just a taste of what it's about at MauiFilmFestival.com. You can get tickets at the door, or you can go to the Maui Arts and Cultural, MauiArts.com site. And did you see something? Did you find something? Oh, my gosh.
I found the photo.
Oh, my gosh. Kathy found the photo. How many years ago was
this
that?
This was...
Oh, my gosh. Look at
oh
that.
Oh, my gosh. 12 years ago, Kealoha.
Oh, my gosh.
2010.
You got to go this Friday.
We're both dressed in red, too.
You have to go this Friday and see him.
I have. I'm hoping that I can make it for the post stuff because I do have another commitment Friday. Is your son coming, too?
Yeah, he'll be there. He's part of the film. He's the bookend. He's in the beginning and he's in the end. He's a key component in the telling of this whole thing.
That's awesome. I'm curious, does he show an inclination towards poetry, storytelling?
His right now, his form of art is art, visual art. But he definitely has shown me some stuff that he's written poetically that I think is great, that I love. I think he's got a very bright future as an artist. And if not, then if he does something else, then I support him either way, whatever he intends to do. But as of right now, he is definitely a visual artist.
Maybe he can do the art for a children's book for this, and this could be an amazing children's book. Can you imagine that?
That'd be so cool.
Oh my gosh!
He'll have to compete with Solomon Enos for that position.
Gosh.
Yeah, you got nothing but the best involved. And you have a little experience doing this type of multimedia full-on performance shows, because when Henry toured the Wild Hawaiian, you were marvelous in that as well.
Yeah, oh, thank you so much. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I got to tour with Henry Capono for many years. Yes. And I got to learn, like, his style of collaborating. And very much that was the style that I used when collaborating with all of the artists that were involved in this project. What he did was he brought together folks who knew what they were doing, and he trusted them to create something that was unique and took the project to the next level. And so I totally just brought together folks, trusted them to do the best of what they could do, and that's what you're going to see on this film is people really being free to express themselves within an idea, within a concept.
I think it's just thrilling. I really do. I think it's so exciting, and I'm so glad that we on Maui get to have the premiere and get to see it there under the stars, and that, you know, people can do Talk Story with you after the show, after the movie in the courtyard there, because this is the kind of thing that does inspire people, and it's the kind of thing I just love. I'm inspired by just seeing what you do. Do you have a website that people can go to really explore what you've been doing?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The film website is www.storyofeverything.org. And that has some really cool content and trailers and photos and all kinds of stuff where you can learn more about the film and the project, The Story of Everything.
Storyofeverything.org, yeah?
And yep. What about you personally?
Oh, me personally, my website, my poetry website is www.kealohapoetry.com.
Well, I'm inspired by your poetry. I write every single day. But, you know, when I see people breaking boundaries and breaking down walls and barriers, as you have with your whole career, I mean, there are not many Hawaiian slam poets out there. And I mean, I don't know if there's any, there's a handful maybe, but to be able to see people.
There's a number of us running around these islands and abroad.
But, really?
Yeah, we all have our own separate voices and ways of communicating the knowledge of our ancestors and of the future.
Yeah, well, you've done an amazing job and inspired many people. And what a great story. I mean, and to have the people believe in you and bring it to this point, that's a great gift. And, you know, part of your legacy, which I think this is really truthfully, Kalo, I think this is just a starting point. No, I do. I really think this is just the board you jump on, you know, before you jump in the pool. I think this is the springboard for you that is going to open a lot of doors nationally and internationally as well. Not that you haven't already, but, you know, once you get it in film, it's amazing how it gets new legs, right?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm still fresh to this journey. I mean, as far as I know, no one's seen this that, you know, outside of our little small little team. So I don't know how it's going to be received, but I'm super excited to see, you know, the faces of people on Friday at the MAC and how they receive this work. Because, I mean, really, it's like it's been a passion project that has taken. Gosh, it's taken almost 11 years since the first idea to get to this point. And so if you want to go with that springboard analogy, we've been running across this diving board for about 11 years.
Wow.
And
that's
and
quite a spring. That's 11 years. Oh, my gosh. I that's amazing, isn't it? Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is quite the, you know, the filming of it all started 4 years ago, but the writing started 11 years ago.
Wow. Well, congratulations on finally seeing it come to fruition.
And thank you for making Maui the premier location.
Yeah.
We appreciate
absolutely.
That.
Thank you so much. It was great talking to you. Like I say, you're kind of a hero of mine, and I just love what you're doing, and I can't wait to see if people can get tickets at the box office that night, or they can go to MauiArts.org and get tickets online. And it's going to be something to remember. I want someone to be taking a video of your face as you watch it and see what you look like as you watch it. And just to be able to see if you can sit still and watch it.
That would be awesome. Well, yes, to the folks of Maui, please come. This is the first time that anybody in the public will be able to see this film. And, you know, as far as I know, it's like, this is it. I mean, and I'm super pumped.
Oh, I got Eric Gilliam on the line. Do you know Eric?
Hello.
Ah, Eric Gilliam.
I've got Kay Aloha on the other line.
Go
Eric.
Stars.
Hey, Kay Aloha. What's up, brother?
What's up, my brother?
All right. That's what's happening. happening is the story of everything.
Yeah, man, I'm super pumped on you as well. I mean, you are one of the folks that I've looked up to like this whole time. I mean, like, you know, ever since Get a Job when we first met, you've sort of been paving the way for the local filmmaking and productions. I know that you are also producing The White Hawaiian, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, man. We open this Friday. We got a
opening on your night.
One man musical extravaganza. I'm not telling the story of everything, but I'm telling the story of growing up as a white Hawaiian and our family. I mean, you know, I try to narrow the subject matter, unlike you. You just said, well, you know what? We're going to tell a story. Might as well just get everything in there. You know?
Hey, yeah, we tell the things that fascinate us, and in this particular one, I bit off as much as I could chew, and I do think it is the story of everything because it really does cover everything in the universe.
Well, it's
a lot to digest. Well, Kay Aloha, thank you so much for taking the time to call in. I appreciate it.
Right on. Thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to seeing you all on Friday.
Aloha.
Awesome. Aloha, ke aloha.
Well, I have to say, Eric Gilliam, you have really impressed me. I cannot believe how you have completely, you know, Eric used to be the kind of guy who's like, oh, this and that, and just all over, and just so creative. But you've become so amazingly responsible and work so freaking hard. I saw a picture of you making costumes. Do you make your own costumes for this White Hawaiian show as well?
I mean, you know, yeah, more or less.
Eric has always been.
Not completely. I did hire a costume designer, but a lot of stuff. I mean, I came from the Sue Loud School of you know, theater, which was basically, you know.
That's right.
I don't know if it's because I'm OCD, I'm a control freak, and I just like to know, like, you know. It's a short story. The reason why I became obsessed about all the sort of technical type of things is because I had a situation when I was in high school. I was a sophomore, and Miss Loudon, she asked me to do the lights for this show, and I said I was all excited, and the show was Barefoot in the Park, starring Greg Poirier actually, and I was doing lights, and a situation went down where there was one special that didn't work on stage, and she said, "It's the most important light in the show. You got to fix that right now." And it was during intermission, and there was a giant spaghetti mess of cords, and I couldn't figure it out. And she looked at me and she said to me, "Don't you ever let that happen again." Ever since that time ever happened, I was like, "I'm going to make sure I know how everything works."
You know who's in the studio?
I want to know. Yeah, so that's why, you know, if something rips on stage, yeah, I can sew it because I know how to sew.
Well, Kathy Collins in the studio here with me, so she knows all about that as well.
Eric is hello, Eric. I'm coming to opening night.
All right.
Yeah, so I'm missing the story of everything. I'm going to see the story of the Gilliams. I think this is going to be like the 10th time I've seen this show, and I know I'm going to laugh right through. But I just wanted to tell Cindy, you know, Eric Gilliam is more than, you know, they talk about triple threats, but Eric is Eric is the story of everything. I've worked with Eric on enough shows and events to know he can do lighting, sets, props, costumes, all of it, all of the backstage tech stuff, and often does. And you're just amazing, Eric. I always say you're the most underappreciated talent on this island. You know, some people know you as a wonderful singer. Some people know you as a great guitarist, and, you know, but you really, you have it all. I'm so pleased to be in your sphere.
Well, absolutely. And I should mention this is at the Pro Arts Theater there in Kihei. And so this is a very, very up close and personal, almost like a living room presentation that people are going to get treated to this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there's a matinee on Sunday, I think, at 2 o'clock, too, right?
Yes, the matinee is at 2 o'clock.
So this is...
And we did, you know, I don't know if all the matinees here are, too, but they are. Well, those are good, you know, for people that don't want to drive at night or, frankly, even in the daytime.
Yeah, no, that's good. It's good for me.
3:30, so... you know, just for people that just would, you know, don't want to drive at night. So, and so the Sunday shows generally fill up pretty quick. So, so come down. It's a fun show. I mean, I'm going to take you on a pretty colorful, wild ride of, you know, our family dating back to the turn of the century, you know, starting in 1902. And, you know, you're going to meet all of these great characters and learn a little bit about this crazy career that I have chosen, and it's a fun show, and so I just invite everybody to come down and come out and laugh, because there's a lot of laughing in the show.
Fun is an understatement. It's just amazing, and marvelous stories and anecdotes. But wow,
we were poised to go on tour, right? We had done the show. We sold out the Maui Arts and Cultural Center twice, once in December of 2019, again in February of 2020. And then we were going to going out on tour in March. And, well, we all know what happened then. Yeah. The end of the world happened. So now we're just coming back out of the pandemic, and we're feeling like we can finally get it up on its feet. So this is going to be a great, and this is a wonderful theater run by a wonderful human named Lynn McEwen. She's awesome, and she's done an amazing job keeping this little sweet little, this is a little jewel. This is the, you know, as somebody told me one time, she said, this is the off-Broadway of Maui.
That's true.
Yeah,
it
like
is.
That. Yeah.
I like that.
Yep.
Yeah, I know Lynn just did a show, and she's going to do it again, I think, in September. I think Sex with a Stranger, she just finished a run with that, right?
Sex with Strangers. Yes.
Sex with Strangers. Okay, that's different. She actually called me. It was so fun. You would appreciate this, Eric. Lynn called me and said, can you promote something that says Sex with Strangers? I said, yeah. Why? I said, sure, we can. She said, I didn't know if you could say that on the radio. And I said, yeah. Yes, it's not a dirty word to say sex with strangers, so we can say that on the air.
We can even say White Hawaiian on the air.
We can even say White Hawaiian without getting in trouble.
and Lynn is officially, she's the female version of me. She is another one. She's a jactress of all trades. She can do pretty much, you name it. I come in here and she's doing sets and costumes and props and lights and box office and this and the thing, and then she gets on stage and blows your mind. She's an incredible talent. I've always had a huge respect for her. The first time I saw her was in the Addams Family. She was brilliant.
Oh, yes.
And she's a writer.
Yeah, yeah.
A playwright.
Yeah.
Yep.
So on this role, you play your whole family. Which character did you... I mean, there's so many amazing people in your family, Eric. But you play all the roles. Which one did you kind of step back and think, gosh, I don't know if I can get all this one or not. Maybe I'll offend this person. Did you have any second thoughts about playing any of the characters in your family, as wild as you are in a Wild Hawaiian style of your own?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah. So it was the character of my mother, who, bless her heart, she just passed in December. And I was... you know, I was you know, my dad passed 12 years ago, so he didn't even get to see the show, although he wouldn't have cared. You know, he would have loved it. But my mom, I was a little concerned because, you know, it's kind of a reveal-all, tell-all kind of a story. And so when I play my mother, you know, I wasn't sure how she was going to take it. Fortunately, she saw the show. She saw it 3 times, and she just cracked up. But there were a few things I held out because I knew that she would not approve of me revealing it. But bless her heart, now that she's passed, I can do whatever I want. So now I've added a few items about my mom.
Oh, my. That
are really funny.
I got to say, Eric, and, when you the first time you did it at the Mac at McCoy, I sat next to your mom.
Oh, my.
And it was hilarious. Oh, the eye rolls.
I know. And,
bless
you know, of
her.
Course, the characters of my great-grandparents, I never knew them. So I just had to create their personalities based on, you know, the stories we were told from the photographs. And, you know, of course, taking some artistic liberty on them. And mostly my great grandmother, because she was a very, you know, she was a big, pure Hawaiian woman from Molokai. So, you know, I just had to kind of piece together what I thought would be, you know, would be, well, ultimately would be entertaining and be funny, but accurate. And the information is accurate. The characters, you know, have essentially sort of created based on unlimited knowledge of them, but they're really fun. My great grandfather was a complete nut job. He was this howly guy who got shanghaied on a boat and ended up in Hawaii. And it's just a funny story. And great grandma, she's funny. She paddled a canoe from Molokai with two brothers.
Wow.
And that's kind of where the story begins.
Well, and we should mention too that tickets are available. You can either get them on proarts.com or thewhitehawaiian.com. Is that the way to get them?
Yep, whitehawaiian.com will lead you. Whitehawaiian.com is easy for most people to remember. But if you know ProArts, you can go to proartsplayhouse.com or whitehawaiian.com. It'll get you here, or ericgilliam.com for that matter. They'll all get you to the box office. And
well, it's going
to
sell out. So we want people to get tickets right away because it's going to sell out. You know, so you need to get tickets right away.
We're pretty close to a sellout on the opening weekend here. But the other weekends are selling really well, too. We're doing the second weekend of August and the second weekend of September as well, and they're selling really well. You know, it's just a fun piece of entertainment. If people just want to come out and have a really good laugh and laugh at me,
and with you,
yes, absolutely with you as well, because you know you have an amazing family and a lot of people know them well, and I mean, gosh, what powerful women in your family too, you know. I mean, it's quite an there's nothing else quite like this White Hawaiian show. And
yes, that's true.
It is pure.
Yeah,
it's pure.
That,
Eric,
that was my goal when we wrote the show. I said, look, I want to do something that doesn't exist, and there's no other story like this on planet Earth. So,
with the help of Brian Cohen, we should mention it's multimedia, and you do
yes,
have video.
Yes, my co-writer. We did get a job together. We wrote all the material for Barefoot Natives with Uncle Willie Kay and I. We wrote all those really funny stories and bits, and then we spent in 2018. We took a year to write this, and you know, it's fun. It's got a beginning, middle, and an end, and the characters are rich. And it's just colorful, and it's fun, and it's ultimately for me, it's a blast to do. It is so much fun to do this show for me.
I could
ride this off into the sunset.
Opening night this Friday, then there's Saturday, and the 2 o'clock matinee on Sunday. But get your tickets fast. It's going to be at the Pro Arts. It's the White Hawaiian Show. It's going to be amazing. I want to thank you so much, Eric, for calling in, and special thanks to Kathy Collins. She called in last minute, came in last minute, and helped out here. Really kind of her. So thank you so much, and have a wonderful time at the show. We'll be seeing you soon, maybe in the studio tomorrow at the other stations.
All right.
Aloha.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Okay. Aloha.